From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. USDA released the November crop production and WASDE reports this morning. Corn production down slightly from the updated October report, and soybean production down less than 1%. We'll have the complete details of the numbers. And then I'll tell you something about a gala event held here on campus this past Saturday evening. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the wheat pit, the nearby contract, December at 520, down a penny. March at 540 and three quarters, down 1 1/4. And the May, down 0.75 cents for the soft red winter wheat at $5.55 1/4. In Chicago, December Kansas City wheat for the hard red, a nickel lower at $5.63. December corn futures, 383.5, up 8 cents. March at 401.5, up 8. In the May at 413 3/4, 8 1/4 higher. July wheat at 425 1/4, up 8 1/4. November soybeans, 940, 28 1/4 higher. January at 948, up 27 cents. And the March soybean futures at $9.57 1/4, up 27 3/4. May contract at 967 1/4, up 27 3/4. December bean meal futures settled at 275.30 today, up $3.60. December bean oil at 35.38, up 1.48. January futures at 35.82, up 1.46 for the soybean oil. December live cattle futures, 92.65, down 15 cents. The February live cattle futures, though, gained 60 cents to settle at 94.15. November feeders at $99 even, up a nickel. January feeder cattle at 98.87.5, down 35 cents. And December lean hog futures settled at $55 even, down 40 cents. The February futures there at $62.75 a hundredweight finished 25 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures trading at $60.90 a barrel, down 14 cents. January at $65.35, $3.48 higher. December ethanol at $1.73.7, up 1.5 cents. Natural gas trading at $7.24.5, up 4.8 cents. And December RBOB gasoline at $1.36.7, up a penny and 7 cents. December heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $2 even and 3 cents of a cent. That's up 2.5 cents for the day. And December propane futures at 77.7, unchanged from the last trade. November gold futures at $745.60 an ounce, up $12.40. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 88.35 now stands just about 108 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 85.89 is down 0.22 on the afternoon. And the CRB index at 261.66 is up 4.82 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northeastern Indiana should be mostly clear and cold in west-central and southern parts of Illinois. Cloudy, some rain arriving there. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Lows will range from 20 in northeastern Indiana to 40 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, cloudy, a mix of wet snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain arriving, changing to all rain. Elsewhere in Illinois and in western and southern Indiana, should be cloudy with a few periods of rain. In northeastern Indiana, increasing cloudiness. Highs tomorrow will range from 39 in northwestern Illinois to 50 in the far south. The extended forecast says periods of rain will occur Tuesday through at least Thursday night, so fields should remain damp most of the week. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of the University of Illinois. USDA released its crop production and WASD reports for the month of November this morning. Now shows corn yield at 153.8 bushels to the acre. That's down 0.1% from the October number. And we have a total production nationwide of just about 12 billion bushels, that down 0.1% as well. Soybean yield now at 39.3 bushels to the acre nationwide, down 0.5%. Production at 2.92 billion is down 0.6%. On the line with us this afternoon to discuss those numbers and others is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he's their lead grain analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And he'll tell me first what you saw in the report this morning, and then did it open the way you thought it should?
Well, as far as the numbers go, we felt that the numbers were fairly close to being in line. What the trade was looking for, didn't really see any real surprises for say. This report gives us some solid production numbers to go by. Now the key is demand from here on out and see how that holds up. Then, of course, as far as the world numbers goes, we'll focus on the southern hemisphere. As we get more down the road, Brazil's 40-41% planted, so that'll be a more of an issue in the future reports. As far as the opening that you mentioned, did not quite open up as the trade thought it would. There was quite a bit of selling to offset the higher open there, and that was kind of surprising. One time we were lower on the day, but the market's ability to come back and close higher, I think, still a positive in here, but we're starting to run out of time. We've been talking cycle lows. We've been talking head and shoulders bottom formations. We've been talking this and that, but the market needs to kick in here and have something positive happen here fairly quickly, or else we're going to be subject to some selling pressure down the road if we don't see some positive price action fairly quickly.
Well, what do you think's positive on the horizon? Anything?
Well, that's a good question. We saw the overnight or weekend news about China and their stimulus package. Some feel that was in the workings already, but that news helped give the market some boost overnight with the idea that they would have more funds to work with internally to stimulate their growth, in return would stimulate more grain demand from us. The key, though, is if they're going to build their infrastructure, they're going to need iron and concrete and a bunch of raw materials to work with, and they haven't stepped up to the world market yet to be a buyer of that just yet. So we'll see how that unfolds. But probably the positive news or what we'll be looking at is continued demand. Japan stepped in and bought some U.S. corn. China's been a big buyer of U.S. beans. Seasonally in here, as we wrap up harvest, we have producers be tight holders, and therefore it should create a tight situation over the next 30 to 45 days at least.
Well, on the demand side, let's talk just a little bit about that and what USDA released in its report this morning. There weren't too many particular changes, although exports were dropped, and they moved those down by 2.6%. Let's see, the estimate now is at, 1.9 billion bushels, I think, for their exports. And it did change then, of course, the ending stocks. And now ending stocks are at 1.124 billion bushels. And they give us an average market price of $4 to $4.80 for the 08-09 crop, and for the 07-08 crop, which is the one that was in the bin already, at $4.20. That dropped to 7.4%. And there was something in the executive summary. I don't know whether you picked this up from Joe Persaki, who's out at USDA and is nice enough to send these out to most of us anymore. He sent us some of the Russian corn yield and production estimates. And the Russian corn yield for this current year is up 34% from last year. I'm going to suggest that that probably comes from genetics, and their area planted was up 23%. So this tells us that there could be another competitor on the marketplace, I would think, in the coming years, if not in the near term.
Yeah, they must have a triple stack available, or quadruple stack on that. But no, you know, Russia, they're human beings just like us. If there's a way to make money or productive farm ground to be farmed, they're going to do it. And with these higher prices that we've seen and the bullish enthusiasm, that brought out more production. As far as down the road, it's going to depend a lot on their availability of capital, just like everybody else, to survive. So it'll be interesting to see what the next year brings. But just to back up a second, you talked about exports, $1.9 billion on this crop year. Last crop year was 2.4, a little over 2.4. So
correct.
This export sectors, the one that's, you know, they've taken a hit here, and we really can't afford to see much more slippage there on that supply-demand balance sheet.
Yeah, the forecast change from year to year is down 22% in the export marketplace. And then you turn domestically, and I wonder what you think about the health of the ethanol industry. Of course, Verisun is in trouble. We've heard that others may be in trouble as well. Can the ethanol industry withstand $60 crude oil prices and gasoline prices down below $2 at the pump?
Well, that's what we're fixing to find out here in a hurry. You know, they were the second largest ethanol producer. They produced 17% of the ethanol in the U.S., the way I understand it. And they had, I believe, two more plants ready to come online real quick, and they put those on hold here. And so that sort of questions the ethanol side of the equation. That, you know, the other side of the equation is, well, we have a mandate. Well, yeah, we got a mandate, but yet, too, you cannot force somebody to do something and go broke either. So it's going to be interesting to see if we can survive that. I know it'd be nice for the government to tap some of that $700 billion to loan to the ethanol side of the equation. But what we got to see, though, is probably crude oil to move back up into this $85 to $90 barrel area to help bring up ethanol prices
in
general.
And that probably is the linchpin, is the economy here. Do you think crude oil and the economy is ready to struggle upwards?
Crude oil and the economy, no. The economy is broke. This process we went through sort of hit home that everything's been on borrowed money. I think we've used up a lot of capital, and that we're going to have to free up more capital to make more loans to get the economy going again. As far as crude oil goes, I think the OPEC nations are going to do their best to try to cut production to help support the market and try to generate some higher prices. But we got a rough road ahead of us here where it's going to have to stimulate some more dollars floating around to get the economy going.
And then turn your attention to more of the numbers that came out from the WASDE report this morning for soybeans. Beginning stocks this year, of course, will be the ending stocks at last year at 205. And they say that by the time we get to next, year, it'll be 205 as well. Given that we started the last year at 574. And ended at 205, so that's a long haul. There's a, you know, some nearly 400 million bushels difference there. It would seem that soybean supply could be awfully tight.
Well, especially if you know, this demand stays strong and we continue to see Asia at least be a big buyer of beans. The key will be acres as we go into next year, whether or not we're going to get more acres and increase overall production. But yes, beans are the most sensitive here, where you can slip that supply-demand balance sheet by 100, 150 million bushels in a hurry.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our weekly look at the world of agriculture. It's called Commodity Week. Updated numbers from the USDA reports and a way to subscribe to our weekend marketing newsletter. And they're all free. They're all at willag.org. You can listen to this program and other programming content, too, as MP3 files right from the website if you'd like. Just click on what you want to listen to. Or if you'd prefer to have it delivered to your computer automatically, just sign up using iTunes. Search my name, Todd Gleason, or hit the podcast button at willag.org. Now up next, last Saturday evening, agricultural communications alumni from the University of Illinois, agribusiness professionals from around the planet, and friends and family of Dr. Jim Evans gathered to kick off an event to raise funds for an endowed chair in his name. I'll have more. The James F. Evans Endowed Chair in Agricultural Communications will be a joint appointment in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and the College of Media at the University of Illinois. Evans is retired but still active in the world of agricultural communications. His distinguished career spans some 33 years of teaching and research, and like many professors at the University of Illinois, Evans cared deeply about the professional and personal development of his students and their careers. Jim and his wife Marlene hosted many an evening bonfire on their farm south of Urbana-Champaign for those students. It was always comforting for the small-town kids thrust into a university system with thousands of people packed into a one-mile square area. He ushered them along through their academic careers and still today often freely offers them advice when asked. When this farm broadcaster, just a 17-year-old high school student from Elkhart, Illinois, called and said, "I'd like to come to the U of I, but Dad says I'll need to transfer in after spending 2 years at a community college," Dr. Evans said, "That was fine," and became my counselor, laying out every community college class I needed to transfer as a full-fledged junior. Jim Evans helped me transfer 63 credit hours. Amazing in the world of academics. And once here, like hundreds of others, he took my hand and gently guided me. That was in the early 1980s. Jim Evans' career started long before that and has had an impact on many a farm broadcaster, even WGN's Orion Samuelson.
Our paths go back to the mid-50s when Jim was an agricultural broadcaster at WBAY Radio and TV in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I followed Jim and spent 4 years in the department that he helped establish. Oh, and then he went to Aubrey Finley, Marley & Hodgson, the advertising agency in Chicago that handled the International Harvester account. And he actually helped keep me off food stamps by buying advertising on our program as well. He made a mark then, but beginning in 1962, when he started agricultural communications at the University of Illinois, what an impact and what a mark Jim has had on agricultural communications.
Dr. Jim Evans has been recognized internationally for his exceptional academic credentials and nationally recognized for his leadership in an agricultural communications program, like the one he built here at the University of Illinois. Now, a fund has been established in his name to endow an agricultural communications chair at Illinois to revitalize the program that, as Orion Samuelson says, has had a lasting mark on the world of agriculture.
This indeed should, I think, be a new era in agricultural communications at the University of Illinois. And why shouldn't it be at the U of I, in the heart of the heartland and in the heart of America's agricultural industry?
If you'd like to make a gift to the James F. Evans Endowed Chair in Agricultural Communications, please call the University of Illinois Foundation or search the web for the words University of Illinois Foundation and Jim Evans. I'm 1986 U of I AgCom grad, Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain markets. The folks at the Andersons are very busy this afternoon, but I'll bet they've made some time to join me. Good afternoon to you.
How's it going, Todd?
Oh, very good. Is this Wyatt?
You got it.
All right, Wyatt. Well, I knew you guys were busy there. They called and they said everybody was on the phone line. So you drew the short straw today then, didn't you?
That's okay. Just luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw. So you're busy. Why are you busy?
A lot of producers are starting to wrap up the end of their harvest deliveries, catching up with end of the season paperwork, making sure their contracts are filled, and just a little bit of questions about the report, a few basis changes, and just general activity.
Tell me about basis in particular. I want to know about cash basis. I don't know whether you've been following what's been happening on the river and freight rates there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, because it's a pretty interesting situation.
Yes, actually, I tried to get into that last week. We cut it short, so it's been really fun to watch with our Canton facility coming online this fall. I've been watching it closer than ever, and I can say about 2 weeks ago, Havana bid was 15 under the Dees for November delivery corn. Last week, it got out to the low 80s, so we had a 70-cent swing very quickly. The river levels were lower. 10-foot-5 drafts at Beardstown, which does not allow for much loading on barges. A few places actually told me they bottomed out barges and loading, so caused a lot of problems there. They're starting to snap back and come back fast. They were in the mid-60s last week, 56 today, looking to be 40 tomorrow, and one merchandiser at Havana told me he expects them to be back to 20 by Friday. So just really volatile, something we don't experience in eastern Illinois, but it's a big factor on the market. Rumors are that some of the large commercials got short barge freight, and they were only able to load out about 80% of the normal barge size, and especially during harvest when things are tight. And Archer Daniels had a fire at their Destaran export facility in New Orleans, so you've got decreased elevation capabilities in the Gulf, just perfect storm for wide basis.
Yeah, and then I heard another reason was that there were an awful lot of there wasn't much freight, actually, barged going down the river because they were all loaded with fertilizer and salt and maybe stuck on the south end of that river with people not willing to take those deliveries up north. And that if you looked at the freight rates, a barge rate, I think it was up over 1,000, maybe 1,100% or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw some quotes above 1,000 last week. And it's a good point you make about the bulk dry products sitting on barges at the Gulf, because we know the warehouse inventory in Illinois is some of the higher priced dry fertilizer, and people are more reluctant to buy with the sell-off in the grains.
Well, I didn't really make that point. Daryl Good told me this morning. So.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Won't take credit for it. But.
Good deal. All right, have a good one.
Hey, you too. Hey, you have bids for the day?
Sure do. Cash corn at the Andersons, 367. Cash soy's 923. And cash wheat, 370.
All right. Thanks much, Wyatt.
Have a good one.
Uh-huh. Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons. They're located right here in Champaign County, Illinois, right close to the University of Illinois, where we produce this program, The Closing Market Report. In just 2 minutes, we'll be back, and we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Vanilla Cupcake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1683, Robert Morrison died, a Scottish botanist. His work helped lead to the modern system of plant classification. In 1793, Jared Kitlan was born, a physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher. He is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. In 1871, journalist Henry Morton Stanley found missing explorer Dr. David Livingston. Dr. Livingston, I presume, Livingston was in Africa in the hopes of ending the slave trade to the eastern coast of the U.S. and to discover the source of the Nile River. In 1951, as of this day in history, you could call from North Carolina and buy tractor parts at a dealer in California without operator assistance. Coast-to-coast direct dialing began. The very first call went from Englewood, New Jersey to Alameda, California. They were able to talk just 18 seconds after the dialing. Previously, coast-to-coast calls were replaced by long-distance operators. And in 1983, computer viruses became a reality. Fred Cohen created the first documented computer virus while studying for a Ph.D. at the University of Southern California. Cohen hid his virus inside a graphics program called VD, written for a VAX minicomputer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago are on the line. Mark Russo is with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's kind of gray, a little cold here today, but I guess it is the month of November. I would suspect that there might be some rain in the forecast, too.
Yeah, we do see a storm system now currently in the plains, and that's going to be pushing off to the northeast into the Midwest over the next 24 to 48 hours. So as a result, we will see precip prospects increase for eastern Illinois, let alone the whole state, as we go into tomorrow. And then that activity will be lingering and, for that matter, pushing off to the east then as we go on into Wednesday.
And then tell me more about the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, Iowa, Nebraska, parts of Minnesota, the Dakotas. They're still way behind. They've had some problems with moisture, and it's been frozen, and I think a little snow out there, too.
Yep, they've experienced some wintry weather here late, and more is on the way with the storm system now in the plains that will clip portions of the northwestern Corn Belt, with Iowa receiving the bulk of precipitation, and it's pretty much all in the form of rain here over the next 48 hours. A strong cold front will then push through later on this week, produce another shot of rain, and then actually some snow showers and flurries as we go into the weekend across that area. So as a result, it's going to continue to be on the slow side here, especially with this shot of cold coming in again, and that's actually going to start around a 7 to 10 day stretch of unseasonably cold temperatures across not only the northwestern Corn Belt, but much of the eastern half of the country.
I know you keep a track of natural gas, and I suppose maybe propane supplies both. An awful lot of that used in the Midwest this year to dry corn. Are we still doing okay for the winter season for homes and farms?
Yeah, from an overall supply standpoint, we have in general around 3.5 TCF, which is some of the highest levels that we've seen here in recent years going into the winter heating season. So from a supply standpoint, overall things are in pretty good shape, and you really need a brutally cold winter to at least cause your supplies there to get into low territory here. So overall, there's at least from a U.S. Standpoint here, natural gas supplies are more than adequate going into this season.
You know, I'm rooting against a brutally cold winter.
We are too here.
That would be bad. Tell me about South America.
South America continues to be in pretty good shape with still no major issues here as we move into November. Brazil is seeing a significant increase in rainfall across the central and eastern areas of their corn and soybean belt, which is pretty much a start to their rainy season. And Argentina now is turning drier after receiving rains over the past several weeks. And in the meantime, that dryness in Argentina is favorable for rapid planting. As we get into late this month and on into December, more rain will be needed to at least maintain the current adequate soil moisture reserves across Argentina.
Thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Mark had to say again, you can do that anytime you'd like in the next 24 hours at least. He's in the weather segment and the fool segment of the Closing Mark Report, all posted at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. Stay warm. Stay safe. I'm Todd Gleason.